So one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I did a quick recap about the kind of movement and following that. But I do want to circle back. Some of the other questions have come up. And what do we do about unpleasant sensations in our body, especially when we are in a group meditation? And so here's one of the things I say. If you're sitting for any length of time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and there are going to be some unpleasant sensations. And that, again, is human. So what do we do about it? Well, if we're experiencing an ache in our neck, if we're experiencing, ooh, itchiness happens a lot. Itchiness in the face, on the nose, maybe in the lips and the hands. Anything like this, all I'm going to recommend is this. Give it a couple seconds. Check it out. Pay attention to it. See if in your attention, the urgency to make it go away goes away, and maybe it starts to soften and goes away on its own. It may not, right? But if you end up feeling, I have to do this, I have to shift, I have to scratch my nose or do my eyes or whatever, be conscious that you're doing it. Say, I'm going to do this mindfully. I am now feeling my hand going up to my nose. And then honestly, think about how did that feel? And what's the difference now that you rubbed your nose? Do you feel better? Did anything change there? It may seem silly, but what you're doing is you're doing the process. You're showing the curiosity. And it was therefore, oh, you know, it's always okay to do whatever you need to do, but in the greater scheme of things, if you've done that in a mindful way, it's just been part of the process. So I find when I'm sitting and I sit for half an hour, there are going to be times when I feel myself starting to compress. And I go, I'm like the whatever it is, the squeeze box is like, oh. So instead of just doing this, I kind of slowly feel myself straightening. And I say, I feel more relaxed now. I feel whatever. So we're not going to ignore them. We're just try not to react to them before you take a pause and try to do it mindfully. And then go back to your focus, go back to your anchor. So and the same thing, it will happen. We're going to hear coughing. You may feel the urge to cough. Again, just give it a second if you can. And then it's like, and I do this at home too. I try, oh, I'm going to get through this. It's going to go away. And then all of a sudden, oh. It's okay. If you're listening to it, you just name it coughing. Or don't even say coughing, just say noise, noise, noise. And if you're the cougher, don't judge yourself. Don't try to hold it back. And then look, how did that feel afterwards? Do it. I go, oh, it's warm. I feel it's, or it's, I start to feel some, you know, sensations going down the throat, whatever. So that's just kind of going back to general procedures as we sit. So today on the curriculum, I have it listed as mindfulness of thoughts and feelings. And upon further review, I said, that's too much. So we're separating them and we're going to do feelings or feelings and emotions today. We're going to do difficult emotions next week. And I'm going to introduce the RAIN process, which is recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. Again, life-changing for me. And then we'll get to thoughts in a couple of weeks. Just out of curiosity, off the top of your head, could you think about why, if I needed to separate mindfulness of thoughts from mindfulness of feelings or emotions, why would I choose to do feelings and emotions before thoughts? I'm sorry?
They're stronger.
And what, I'm not disagreeing with you, but what do you mean by that? Okay.
Lower level of consciousness.
Yes.
Just it doesn't require as much advanced sort of processing.
Right. So it's a different part of the brain that's kicked in, right? And typically, our feelings and emotions have begun by something external, right? And our thinking ends up actually getting in the way of our dealing with the emotion, because we get into a story, immediately want to figure out, blah, blah, blah. And by going into our thinking brain and not staying with any curiosity or attention to the feeling, we're not giving it the attention that it needs in order to simply be accepted, process, and pass. So one of the things I talk about is feelings and emotions, and thoughts for that matter, but let's stay with feelings and emotions, are kind of like weather patterns. So our awareness is the big sky, and these weather patterns come through. And we don't want to be in a position of trying to control them, because frankly, we can't. But before we kick into our thinking process, what we're going to try to do is become able to respond and not react. I'm going to throw it open. Does anybody have a sense of how I'm distinguishing between respond and react? What would I mean? Can you think of?
Just become aware of what the emotion is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't react with words or actions.
Okay. Yep. And how would a response be different from a reaction in there?
Like a response might be like, okay, I feel this, I can deal with it, or I'm going to let it be here and then wait for it to sort of not necessarily pass because it might last a while,
right,
but at least not react with, you know.
Like the knee jerk. Okay, sure.
Like that's what happens to me, the self chatter. Then I start saying, well, you shouldn't have done this. All the judgment.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to bring up an example that she and I both know very well, and I think it'll hit home. You are, let's say you're on Winding Way in Newtown Square with the Whole Foods on your left, Wawa on your right, and you come to the light, and there's a sign that says, no turn on red except for these times. And the person's not moving. Okay. Picture this. Actually, just do me a favor. Close your eyes right now. Picture you are at that light. Okay. And there's somebody in front of you. And they're not moving. And now open your eyes. Did you feel anything? Maybe because it's my story, I feel it. But did anybody have, what did you feel?
Frustration.
Frustrated, right? And,
conflict.
Yeah. Okay, so reaction is beep, 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 beep. Done it, been there, right? Response is, I feel it. I'm like, but I might take a pause. Here's the difference. If I need to get to Lankenau Hospital because Pam's dad has just been rushed there, I'm there, he's not turning, I start to feel, right? I take a breath and I go, what is the proper response now? The proper response is I'm driving around him and going. I'm okay breaking the law here, because I've got somewhere important to go. If I don't have anywhere important to go, is beeping the horn a proper, appropriate response? Probably not. I mean, a couple times. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But what I'm getting at is I've been there where I leaned on it. I leaned on it. Exactly. That was me. I'm really sorry. But this was you. No. And I'm going into all the thoughts about this idiot can't read. Look at the sign. I want to get out of the car and look at the sign. So what I'm getting at is there's a primary, what we're going to try to do with our feelings and emotions and understand is there's a difference between a primary and a secondary emotion.
And I would say relax and forget. That would be me.
You would what? I'm sorry?
If I were back you, I'd say, Jenny, relax and forget it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, that's a very appropriate response.
Unless the light turns green, silver.
Right. Right.
Right.
But your point is so well taken is that relax, and I've gotten much better about that because I would remind myself, where do I have to be? They may not speak English and read numbers. They're new to Newtown Square. There are a million reasons. So I don't want to get up into the story that makes me angry. Or so I want to be able to recognize at that moment when the frustration starts welling up. I recognize that. That's what happens when I'm frustrated because things aren't going my way. And I have the power to respond appropriately, which is deep breath. It's okay. This is 30 seconds out of your life. So that's one example of why we're doing this. Because it happens throughout our day in times that are a lot more important. Bob gave us one of the greatest examples, right? And again, I so feel you because I've been there, right? But it's like, I've got an hour and a half before I'm doing an all day training and my laptop is not connecting properly to the projector. And someone says, reboot. It probably just doesn't recognize it. I reboot it. All of a sudden, Windows 10 automatic. Do not turn your computer off. We're updating. And the guy next to me goes, oh my gosh, that may be 2 hours. Not as important as, and it turned out I could find another laptop, but at that moment, I could have freaked. And I could have embarrassed myself among all the people who were there. And at that moment, I took a deep breath and I laughed. I said, well, wouldn't this be a great time for this to happen? Okay, what can we do? So it's putting yourself in a position to have an appropriate response. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is that it's not just unpleasant feelings and emotions that we need to take the pause button. So I'm going to throw open, can anybody think of something that was an experience where there was a pleasant emotion where you might have had an inappropriate response?
I just had one there. I set the alarm off in Dublin, the fire alarm.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't go all over. It was contained. But a couple said they couldn't believe that I was not getting hysterical and, I don't know, doing whatever. And I said, it's an alarm.
Yeah.
It'll be taken care of. Just open the windows and...
Well, I might say that actually is an appropriate response. That's right. I think that was an appropriate response. What I'm looking for specifically is when something, a very pleasant feeling.
Okay.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Laughing.
Sure. Something happens and it's not someone giving a eulogy being funny, but you look over and you see someone wearing something. It's like, oh my God, that was my prom dress. Right? Inappropriate. I shared something with Pam earlier. It's like, how about the teenager? First date, second date, whatever, and kissing. And there's that wonderful feeling. It's like, oh my God. And they're thinking, I'm in love. This is this, I'm going to marry this person. Right? So that's the reaction. It's like, oh my God. It's, and yet the fact may be what they're responding to is a whole different thing. It's like, it's a sense that someone cared for them enough to be vulnerable and kissed, right? So we don't expect teenagers to have the same ability to do that. We're trying to teach them in schools now, but also as adults, as young adults, as older adults, we have times when we have a response to something pleasant that may make us want to react in a way that if we hit a pause button, we might react differently and more appropriately. I'll share this. The Platts are huggers, aren't we? Right? And there are times when I may well reach out and hug someone when it wasn't something that they respond, you know? In fact, right? And so this is something, again, where just being able to recognize that this is happening becomes important. That's why we're doing this. So our being able to tap into what's happening inside us, which will demonstrate itself physically, and being able to say, that's a different feeling. And before we let it take over, have that pause and go, okay, so what is this? If it's unpleasant, can I be with it? And let's figure out what's going on. I mentioned earlier the difference between primary and secondary emotions. I think I did. If I didn't, I meant to. What primary emotions I'm going to define as those that are our first reaction to an external event or stimulus. Can you think of what, and I did a lot of research on this, and there are no clear-cut answers. I've got some lists that I think are pretty interesting and informative. No right or wrong answer. But this particular, there were 8 that they said were primary emotions or feelings. So these are 8 primary feelings, emotions that occur as a result of an external stimulus. What do you think are some?
Anger.
Fear.
Happiness.
Sadness. Sadness, yes. So
surprise,
surprise, yes. That's one that isn't always come to mind, but yes. So let me see what we've got. We've got down the list, we had anger. We had fear. We had happiness, which could also be joy, right? Did we have sadness?
Yes.
Sadness. Surprise. So there are a couple more. What if you step in dog poo?
Disgust.
So if you think about it, that's a primary response. It's like, and I can tell you, because I've studied this, it's in the insula, which is in the brain. The brain just goes, mmm. Okay. And the last one, what's that?
Hurt.
Emotional pain. I think we're going to find that there are lots of ramifications in a secondary basis for that. How about you got turned down for that mortgage and you have to come home and tell your spouse. Maybe that's not a good example.
Shame or disappointment.
Shame. Yeah, I was trying to find something that wasn't like, but shame is described as a primary. So anger, sadness, fear, joy or happiness. Oh, interest, curiosity. Well, it's primary. It's like, because something has drawn your attention and there's nothing else necessary to cause that other than you went, oh, that's an interesting shape.
Yeah.
right? It's not drawn by anything else. Okay, so the secondary emotions are a reaction to that first. And this is one of the things that can happen that perpetuates them and also start to kick in our brain, right? So feeling shame when you get angry, right? Again, I don't know why I'm always thinking about the squash court, but if I pound and then I'm embarrassed among the people, right? Feeling angry when you have a shame response can be natural. So something happens, your first reaction is shame or embarrassment, and then it turns into anger. And it may be you're lashing out at other people to protect yourself or whatever. What I would like us to begin to practice, and we're going to practice some tonight, and then you'll have a chance to practice over the next week, is have our attention coming inward and start to be able to see where the physical manifestations of these emotions are, and can we take a moment to look at them, be investigative, being curious, and pay attention to them and not necessarily let them hijack us and let them get trapped into a story. One of my mentors, George Kinder, would talk about the cycle of what do we call it? When painful feelings would attach to thoughts, he called it the cycle of suffering. Because the pain itself is going to happen. Things that hurt us, cause us fear, sadness, that's going to happen. What traps us into suffering and not being able to move beyond that initial is the thoughts that what caused that, and you're a bad person, and you're going to be late, or that person in front of you who didn't make the turn is just a jerk, and I hate jerks. People like that shouldn't be on the road. They should have to take a driver's test. Right? You get trapped into that initial feeling could easily just dissipate, but we perpetuate it by letting it trap in our thoughts. Yeah, right. Letting someone down? Yeah. Sure. And can you give me sort of...
I wasn't thinking.
No, or, okay.
Maybe a
confinement. Well, no, but what...
Maybe a child. You were late picking up a child after school. Maybe half an hour and the kid was late or just waiting, wondering where the heck their parent is.
Were you talking to Kelsey? That's when Kelsey got her first cell phone. Yeah. So think about all the different right feelings that could go into that. But you look like you're gonna say something.
Yeah.
No, Peter.
Yeah.
No, okay. So what we want to try to do is to become so attuned to what's happening. And again, it begins with being in our body and being present. And what our meditation around mindfulness of feelings and emotions hopefully will do for us is to create a sense of, you know what? The more I do this, the more I can see this, what's happening. And it becomes easier for me to track this, and it becomes easy for me to hit the pause button. So before I make a misstatement to someone, before I hit send on the email, before I lash out at an underling, I'm going to hit the pause button. Now, it may be, let me tell you something. The whole thing about our process of meditating is not to create mindless zombies. It's not to make you inactive. It's not meant to make someone who has something important to do that may take some energy not to have the energy to do it. It's simply to give you the ability to do it in the most appropriate way. Sometimes getting angry is important. You need to express yourself. You need to defend yourself. But there are times when it is and there are times when they're not. We all know that. We probably have all been on both sides. So if we can catch that anger happening, feel it, how does it manifest itself in the stomach, in the hands, right? If we can feel that happening, take a deep breath, because what's the appropriate response now? Can I be with this for a moment and let it pass? Or do I need to react? And if I need to react, what's the proper reaction now? The more practice you do with that, the quicker that process happens. Any questions right now about this? Is it raising any doubts, any queries?
Quick question.
Yeah.
Because you're saying you're going to meditate and you're going to find that. If you don't have those emotions right now, though, you're not finding.
Then there's something incredibly wrong with you. No, actually, truth be known. No, I love that question, and hopefully I was going to model it in our guided meditation. Not every time you sit down are all these things going to be bubbling up. What do? You start to look for, you're always feeling something. So if it's not happiness, if it's not anger, if it's not sadness, if it's not worry, right? Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's calm, right? Right. You know, and it's like, so what does calm feel like? I mean, what does, maybe it's relieved, right? You may still not find anything. And the answer to that is, it's okay. You looked.
You're blessed.
Right. Maybe that's right. Maybe you're just blessed, right? But the fact is, it's like, if you're looking, at least you're looking. And then you don't, it's really important. Let's not judge ourselves. If, oh my God, I'm just not good at this. Mindfulness of emotions, because I can't find them. It's like, sometimes, first of all, we've got four travelers from Mars here. And we've got five from Venus. I'm talking about men are from Mars, women are from Venus, right? The emotional intelligence, it's a stereotype, but stereotypes often exist for some reason. We tend to have a harder time processing our emotions and feeling comfortable going there and talking about and sharing, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be more difficult for us as we're sitting to see it. So that's okay. That is okay, because incrementally over time, we may begin to do it. And that's the direction we want to go. Yes, Rod.
No one's mentioned love.
Well, I would say, yeah, love could be in the same with, Well, I'm going to tell you, in my research, there were some people who said love was absolutely a primary. And they said, actually, if you want to drill down deepest, there are two primaries and everything else becomes secondary and tertiary. And it was love and fear. I would say it's up to you. There are no right or wrong answers with that.
Okay.
Whatever is helpful. But great. Yeah, cool. So let's do this now. And I will, by the way, I think it might be handy. I'll share this research. I'll put it on the website, but I'll also send it out. You may find it interesting. And I would urge you, if this topic is interesting and you want to drill down, just Google it. Okay? All right. So let's do this.